Welcome to another edition of An Artifact Your Journey. I'm your host, Philip J. Merrill, and I know y'all folk get tired of me saying how excited I am, but I'm not lying. I'm always excited when it comes to history and culture. And today I have some special guests from the Palmetto State, which happens to be one of my favorite states in America because of my favorite photographer, Arthur L. Macbeth from Charleston. That's another story for another time. But right now, we're going to talk about an acronym known as UCCRP, which stands for Union County Community Remembrance Project. But before we get to that, we got to do our traditional Artifactual Journey podcast opening, which is to have an artifact that segues us to the topic at hand. And I am showing the two of you a rare collection of Black photographs from the late 1800s from Galveston, Texas.
Now,
unfortunately, something that I'm going to briefly talk about during my long time in Union County on Saturday from 4 to 8 is how important it is to educate folk about documenting their own family history, and none of these cabinet cards are identified. We can only imagine that some of them had relatives that got the news in 1865 about the end of enslavement, but one will never know unless someone comes forth one day when they see this in a project that we do and say, oh my gosh, that's my great, great, great so-and-so. So with that said, from Galveston, Texas, we get to, who's going to speak first?
How about Tamika goes first and then me, and we can just handle it, you know, whichever works best. I'm the head of the History and Research Committee. Tamika's the lead of the project, and okay. Tamika has been behind the event.
Then let's go to the person with all the juice, all the power, all the information, all the prestige, all the hard work and due diligence, Tamika M. Wilson. Welcome.
All right. Thank you. Thank you for having me, having us. And you mentioned the acronym, and it is the Union County Community Remembrance Project. You've been in existence since early 2019. We wouldn't exist if it wasn't for the work and research of Park Ranger and Director Nate Johnson and our co-lead Kate Borchardt-Shane. In fact, we're doing the artifactual journey effort that you're talking about, where they were researching the physical artifacts to discover individuals that were lynched and finding the multiple sources to document and show that there were lynchings in Union County of individuals that had not been recognized. And we knew that there were four who were recognized by the Equal Justice Initiative at the Legacy Museum, and part and parcel to their research and ongoing research with the expanded coalition included reconstruction and post-reconstruction, of course, into Jim Crow. And we discovered over 19 individuals that had been lynched in Union County. And of course, we have descendants. And I learned as part of my process being here, Al Hester is one of our coalition members, and learning about descendants of those lynching victims, I found that I was related to one of those lynching victims. I did not know that until I started this process. It was very emotional. And we have coalition members kind of on each side of the storyline, because our mission is to document and recognize the history of lynching and racial terrorism in Union County. And our ongoing vision seeks to foster ongoing collaborative education, justice, and healing through preservation. And we do this through Juneteenth. We do this through our programs that we have. We have ongoing programs. We work with post-secondary institutions. We work with other community remembrance projects, people that are just kind of getting off the ground. I think we had the unique ability to be able to celebrate Juneteenth on the date that it became a federal holiday. And we did our recognition of these lynching victims on Juneteenth of 2021. And we have continued to say their names every year. And we installed three historical markers And we are included in the Green Book of South Carolina, the Wagoja Foundation, the South Carolina African American Heritage Commission Green Book as well. Our work with respect to the jail raid and lynching of 1871. So lots of information and artifacts, physical and the oral histories that we learn as part of this process.
I just think in some ways what this group is doing is leading the way for other parts of the country to follow in your footsteps, because your program is a lot of it's based in historical placemaking, historical research, historical artifacts and oral history, and not just giving away food, having some drumming, having some play space for children. I think so much of our present day African-American historical traditions get marginalized and sold short by the community, by the media, and by sponsors. So it's really nice to see that what is going on in Union County is going to touch on all of the bases. So I just wanted to thank you for that. So that's awesome. Ranger Johnson, would you like to chime in?
No, I think what Tamika is, she nailed it as always. Got everything there. And I think when you just mentioned places, the place that's so important. I think the place that Tamika and the coalition have chosen for Juneteenth is the perfect place to recognize Juneteenth in Union. And I say that as a person who has lived in Union County for only 5 years. So it is right now my adopted home place. But from my understanding of Union's history, the location for Juneteenth is very important. One, it is right by the jail, and that is the historic jail that was there since the early 19th century. And when Tamika had mentioned the racial violence during Reconstruction, one of the major acts of violence was the Ku Klux Klan lynched 10 men who they pulled out of the jail at Union. And that is still the same jail building. And so in recognizing and honoring the victims of lynching, that place and doing the ceremony there annually is very important. On top of that, right there where the ceremony is the community hospital. That was a hospital run by Dr. L.W. Long, an African-American physician. Tamika could expand on that some more. She sits on the board for the Community Resource Center. That is the way that the L.W. Long Hospital is now referred to, as the L.W. Long Community Resource Center. So that sits across from the jail. And there are historic Black businesses and historic Black churches that are right there within that same space. So a very important place to recognize emancipation, racial violence, and the continued fight for justice and equality in this nation and in our local community.
I think both of you have just hit grand slams. I'm so excited to be able to talk to both of you, because you both have given a truncated version of the significance of the place that we're going to all be on Saturday. My last time in Union County, which was my first time, I'd never been to a marker that was as powerful as those markers were in Union County. I also went across the street and took pictures with my mother at the jail, which was powerful, and then also at the courthouse. So for the people that, especially the younger folk that might find history boring, we need to really tap into understanding what came before us and the impact that it has on us presently and as we move into the future. So really, part of that is sacred ground. It's hallowed ground. And so the young folk need to understand that people lost their lives right smack dab in this vicinity where we are celebrating, memorializing, and so forth, coming up on Saturday. And I might add, I love the key, I don't want to call them hashtags, but the buzzwords of truth, memory, and reconciliation. I think that says it all, but I just wanted to add something in front of the word truth: education. Before we get to the truth and memory and reconciliation, we need to be educated about our resplendent heritage. And so often people of African descent are ashamed, are embarrassed, are not even willing to hear or want to learn about what our folks went through and how we were resilient and made it through. So when I give my presentation at 5:30 on Saturday, I'm going to add education, truth, memory, and reconciliation. So is that okay, Tamika?
I think that's fantastic. That is one of our touch points. One of the things we think is so important, especially in light of everything that's going on in the United States right now with respect to fear of education.
Yes.
So I was on another program yesterday and I talked about knowledge is power.
It is.
And, you know, it's the power to not only empower individuals to understand their history, but it's also the power to heal, I believe. So without that education, you know, we can never get to the reconciliation. We can never actually have the conversations. So it's very key to bring everyone to the table. I mentioned a little bit about both sides of the table. In our coalition, our leadership, you know, we have individuals who are descendants of lynching victims, and we also have individuals who are descendants of perpetrators of those lynching. So, you know, this is shared history. This is shared trauma.
Yes.
This is nothing to shy away from, you know, being honest. And I just think that the United States is missing, and I hope that it continues to seek out a golden opportunity to have these conversations, to talk about, you know, the Black Wall Street in Union County that a lot of people aren't aware of, which is, you'll see a little bit of that when you're here.
Right.
To understand that it took both groups to elevate Black people in this country, to ensure equality and enshrine equality legally and morally. So it's going to take the work. And I know that arc is as long as Dr. King said, but we're going to get there. It's going to happen. It is happening because you have organizations and foundations that are putting money where their mouth is, so to speak, and they are backing programs and they're backing. You know, when I see places like the Legacy Museum, when I see the, you know, the Smithsonian that has, you know, the African American History and Culture Museum, you know, I've never been. I can't wait to go. Seeing these spaces being replicated around the country, the new museum in Charleston, an international African-American museum, is so important to tell these stories. And I would love for, you know, Union County to be a hub that really talks about history and not division. And you know, we talk about it with everyone. I don't think we don't shy away from it. If someone is surprised that I'm Black, I'm like, yeah, surprise. I'm a Black person. I'm a Black woman. And yeah, I want to talk about these things. And it's just as important for Nate to have that conversation too. Mm-hmm. So I think our coalition has done a great job of capturing these moments and continue to do it under the auspices of Juneteenth. And I think that's a great vehicle to do.
I have to thank you because I couldn't agree more. And in spite of the racial tone and class tone that's going on in America today, activities like this are really designed to bring people together of all races, classes, ages, and so forth. And so even if the bitter pill of the truth will be brought to the table, we still are not berating or pointing a finger. We're just sharing historical, authentic information that needs to come forth to allow us to move forward. And with that said, one of the items that I'm going to share while we're there is this rare program from none other than Kelly Miller of Howard University. This is a 1917 pamphlet called The Disgrace of Democracy. Could that not be republished today in 2023? It's an open letter to President Woodrow Wilson by Kelly Miller, who goes on to be the dean at Howard University. And I'm putting this on display and using it in my presentation at 5:30 because he spends a great deal of time in this open letter to President Wilson discussing lynching across the country. Mm-hmm. And not only that, this is a native son of Winnsboro, South Carolina.
That's right.
Kelly Miller has deep roots in the Palmetto State. And mm-hmm. goes on to talk about that the lynching is not just a Negro occurrence. And that's something that needs to be made clear. And the other rare mm-hmm. item that we're going to surprise the public with is that the anti-lynching crusaders, a million women united to suppress lynching, headed up by Mrs. Mary B. Talbot. This is a very rare pamphlet that looks at lynching across the country. And of course, they do have some folks from South Carolina that were lynched in this. And the piece de resistance that we're going to be hopefully sharing with the public comes from our expansive KKK department. Mm-hmm. Many folks have trouble understanding the KKK, but hopefully with what they see from our presentation and exhibit, they will have a deeper understanding that the Klan had a junior Klan for the children. They had a women's department for the women. So it could be a family get together. So dad goes to his department, mama goes to hers, and junior goes to theirs, which is absolutely mind boggling. So these are some of the type of items that you get from our exhibit and presentation, but I don't want this to be just about me. Could you elaborate on my friend Robin, who I've known on Facebook for years and a big fan of hers? So could we talk about her first?
Yeah, and yeah, that's right. So Robin R. Foster is going to be here for Juneteenth as well. And she will be set up inside the LW Long Community Resource Center. She will be in a room that is currently being set for the University of South Carolina Union students to study and work out of, right, Tamika? Yes. And so she'll be set up there. Nice. Yeah, and she is a genealogist and a historian and researcher. And so Robin will be able to share presentations with people to show how to research family history and specifically African-American history. And she can help people find, figure out ways to find enslaved ancestors, find anybody in their family history during the Reconstruction period when there's pretty rich documentation for African-American history in a lot of local communities. And then also through the Jim Crow era. And she can help point people in the right direction to piece together their own stories and figure out their family trees. And she has a lot of experience. Her company is Genealogy Just Ask. And she is on social media everywhere. She has Facebook groups. She's just got a ton of information and very enthusiastic about helping people find their family history.
And right,
and she has roots in Union County. Sorry, go ahead, Phil.
I saw that. And right now that there's a uptick of interest in reclaiming your surname, connecting, understanding where someone is buried, if they were a part of the USCT, you know, what their occupation was, you know, did they go to a Sabbath school or a Rosenwald school? And so genealogy is a trending kind of really sexy field of study right now because everybody and his mother are trying to connect to the past. So I've been a big fan of hers for years. I told her on social media that I was really looking forward to finally meeting her face-to-face as opposed to through technology. So I'm excited yes. for her. And what about Tyree K. Rowell? Who's going to talk about Tyree?
Yeah, I can talk about Tyree as well, if that's all right. Tyree's a living historian. Yeah. Yeah, and Tyree's a living historian. He has worked with the State Park Service on a few different events, especially an annual event that we do right now called Forging a Life out at Rose Hill Plantation State Historic Site. And Tyree is going to be supporting this event here for Juneteenth in Union. He will be doing different demonstrations. He'll be doing broom making. And so that will be hands-on activities showing the materials that people used to make brooms and showing how people made brooms. And he sometimes does brick making. Is that what he is going to do, Tamika? This might be where I have to drop off because I think you're more aware of what Tyree is going to be doing for Juneteenth here.
Well, he may be doing some brick making. I think he's going to bring some new items to the table for us to see, which really depicts, you know, the type of work that was done in the late 1800s and how individuals survived, how Black people survived. So he does a great presentation that walks people through how things were made, why they were made the way they were, what was utilized on the land that was at hand, especially in the space of disparity, where you're not going to have everything at your fingertips, and then how that those trades, if you will, were communicated and passed on to children. So, you know, you had a lot of blacksmiths, you had a lot of brick masons, which we know, right? So that construction side of the house, which is communicated down and taught to children and passed on, which is continued to be a rich history in Black culture, especially in Union County, we had a lot of brick masons. I would also say that even though he's a U.S. University of South Carolina guy, because I'm a Clemson, he's going to bring some good stuff to the table and participate. And he's going to be outside at a tent so everybody can come up and view him throughout the evening. So we really appreciate him coming back to us again this year. And really, I have to say this, of course, that we couldn't do any of this without the grant that we received through the hard work of Nate Johnson, Steffi Cohen from the South Carolina Humanities. So they sponsored our grant to get yourself, sir, and our other guest speakers, Robin Foster and Tyree Roll, to come out and visit with us. So we're excited.
So hat tip to the South Carolina Humanities Council. And I'm looking at the flyer now. Should we give a shout out to the other folks at the bottom of the flyer?
Oh, absolutely. So, of course, we can do anything without the City of Union and Union County, which helps us to prepare for the event, clearing out the space there that we're going to be using outside for the car show with a lineup starting at 2 o'clock. And that car show benefits the Elder Belong Community Resource Center as far as repair and rehabilitation of the building. And then, of course, our mighty tourism led by Curtis Hunter, who is one of our coalition members and leader. And she led the soil collection and the historical marker work for us for the UCCRP. I'm part of the Wagoja Foundation as an administrator, and they always help us. They are our fiscal agent, so they make sure all the bills get paid for Juneteenth. And Elder Belong Community Resource Center for hosting as a venue. University of South Carolina provided funds to ensure that we can continue to do this work. And of course, we were featured on WBCU on the 6th of June talking about this event. So that's our local radio station, which reaches out to quite a few folks, about 10,000 folks that listening area that understand what Juneteenth is about. And we recently got sponsorship from Lockhart Power. So we appreciate Lockhart Power, and they are going to sponsor our entertainment, which is DJ Troop, Freddie Vanderford, who's going to do a dedication to Peg Leg Sam, who's from Jonesville. And also we wouldn't have the spiritual dancers, the SPT dance team, if it wasn't for Tyree Roll. So he helped us facilitate some additional entertainment for that evening. And all of those things seek to honor the music side and the creativity side of culture here for Juneteenth.
That's a mouthful. And so one thing I did not hear that I was really excited about, because Isabella, our 2.5-year-old, coming, and I think I heard on one of your other presentations, there's going to be a bounce with some water.
Oh, yeah. See, I leave that part out because I know somebody's going to ask, what about the kids? Right?
Come on.
So we are, of course, going to have a kid zone out there. And hallelujah. That is courtesy.
Hallelujah.
That is courtesy of Pass the Torch and the UUCAA and Antonio Johnson. and Lakeisha's Inflatables and More LLC. So they're going to have the very nice bouncy houses. Usually consists of slide, the indoor bouncy house. And what we are doing this year is having some lawn games, cornhole. We're going to have the giant Jenga, giant checkers, probably Connect Four, just different types of games that people can enjoy. And some smaller games, if you play spades or anything like that, I'll be more than happy to educate you, Mr. Merrill, about some spades. You know,
wait a minute. Now, why are you just going to throw shade to me?
I'm just saying, I'm looking at you, I'm checking you, see, you know.
So, okay, since you went there, I'm a check you, okay? Because that's what I do. I wasn't going to bring this up, but I will, because your founding board of trustee member at Clemson comes from a long line of slaveholding folk in South mm-hmm. Carolina. Okay. Mm-hmm. And his mm-hmm. last name is mm-hmm. Warmaker. Okay.
Oh gosh.
And okay. Nate has been excited about this, but we're going to do a deeper dive into some of these surnames. We have an original ledger from one of the properties that the Wanamaker family owned, and you get to see the names of the formerly enslaved and freeborn that after emancipation are still working for the Wanamaker family.
Oh my gosh.
And there are white Wanamakers of wealth, and then there's some Negro Wanamakers that you know mm-hmm. how to use their name, okay? So next time yeah. you throw something at Tyree, you better check yourself, because you came from that tiger place. I just wanted to check you on that, okay?
Okay. I have been duly educated. And, you know, we have that tradition here in Union County with the Gist family, you know, and McKissick's family. I mean, we can go right. all the way back, and I'm sure on my Kelly family, the side there, because it just turns out that Matilda, as we go back in my family history, for whatever reason, and we don't know why, was gifted or given over 180, it might have been more than that, acres of land, which is now you know, inheritance land. So I wonder why, right? Why did that happen? So, you know, there's definitely connections there from the multiple plantations that were you know, in Union County, that were Union County. And my dad tells a story about how there were no trees when he was young. He was born in 1945. His name is Leon Wilson, sergeant first class, retired, one each. And he remembers it being nothing but farmland. You could see from Santuck to Carlisle. I don't know if I told you this story, Nate.
Wow. No, I don't think so.
Yeah, he said he could see from where he lived all the way to Carlisle, because it was all wow. farmland. And I was like, wow. So
that's great perspective and memory. That's, mm-hmm. man.
See, yeah. look at how dialoguing in a safe space allows all of this to come out. And that's what is so exciting about this upcoming event on June the 17th, Saturday, is that we never know who's going to be in attendance, what kind of information, artifact, or memory that they can share or point us into a direction that up until this event has been underground, under table, just not known. So mm-hmm. I just think this is exciting. Are there any questions or comments or anything either one of you want to say before we wrap this up?
I just would like to thank you for inviting us to be on the podcast today. And for those that may still want to participate, we're going to go right up to the wire June 15th. If you go online to Eventbrite, you type in Union County Community Remembrance Project, Juneteenth. It should pop up for us, and you can still register online to be a vendor or guest group. We are asking folks to register for a free raffle. It's a free ticket, free admission, so that you can perhaps get a really good gift basket or something even bigger. We'll see what happens. So if you register, you'll get something. You'll be able to register on site, but that'll be a different gift. So go ahead and get the free one and instead of the paid one. Just really thankful for all of the folks that are participating as part of the Field Villages Food, Health, Housing, Education, Employment, Economic Development, and Life Skills. So we thank you.
I'd like to thank you, and I'd like to thank Nate, but I want to end with a really positive moment of expression. In my first visit to Union County at the Carnegie Library in February, I felt so much love from the audience. It was powerful. I've been at this for a minute, including when I had hair. So we're talking about 30 years. The people really made me feel loved, valued, well-received, important, respectful. And I couldn't wait to come back. So, I'm bringing my A-plus game. I got some surprise information and artifacts that I did not tease you with that will keep the people asking questions and so forth. So I'm going to be ready to bring the fire and the brimstone, as some people used to say back in the day.
Okay, great.
Sounds great.
Outstanding.
Looking forward to it.
Okay, so I'd like to thank both of you. And again, we're talking about Juneteenth, Remembrance and Celebration 2023, Truth, Memory, and Reconciliation in Union County, South Carolina, on Main Street from 4 to 8 p.m., rain or shine. Let's pray for shine.
That's right.
Thank you. Take care, everyone. Bye-bye.
Sounds good. Thank you all.
Bye-bye. Bye.